Hello everyone, this is Don Gerbler, and welcome to the Insuring Cannabis Podcast, a bi-monthly trip into the intersection of two industries that couldn't be more different. Just about everyone listening knows how complex and confusing insurance can sometimes be, especially to those who are new to the game. In most industries, there's no shortage of veteran insurance buyers who have a pretty good idea of what they need and how much. But that's not so much the case in the cannabis industry. While some businesses getting into cannabis have experience buying insurance, considering cannabis has been legal for less than a decade, this is a whole new world for many of them. I thought it would be interesting to take a look inside the cannabis insurance buying process, but through the viewpoint of those who sell the insurance products. And so, in the spirit of that old saying, kids say the darndest things, I asked a few cannabis insurance brokers to talk to me about some of the things they've heard and some of the misconceptions some of their clients have had when it comes to insurance. It turns out that what you don't know could actually hurt you. Let's listen to one recent experience that Matt Porter, Vice President of Brown & Brown Insurance Services of California, had.
I started working with a new client that had been in business, and they had their product liability with a carrier that I won't mention the name, but if you're in the industry, you probably know of them because they have very, very limiting forms, even on their construction side when they do things like classification limitations. And they take that and put it into their marijuana form. And I went through their policies when we sat down just as an initial run through, because they just asked for a second opinion. And we went through all their policies, and on their product liability, it had them classified as a medical marijuana cultivator when in fact they were doing recreational cultivation. And I sat with the CFO and went through it and took that policy, that part of the deck page, and then went to the wording further back 100 pages into the form and showed him that, well, in the event of a claim, they're going to turn around and say, well, how are you classified on our declarations page? Well, you're a medical marijuana cultivator, but this was actually recreational sales, so you've just paid $300,000 for, again, essentially a useless piece of paper, because if you have a claim from recreational marijuana, which is 100% of their sales, the carrier doesn't care. They're not going to provide any defense. And I mean, even when we went through the audit trying to fight on their behalf, the carrier said, we don't really care. We're charging the premium for the sales, even though there's no coverage. So it became a real mess, but ultimately we got the client because of that.
Not reading a policy closely enough or making assumptions about coverage are big mistakes for sure, and that's probably why companies need a good broker to help them. In talking to brokers, one trend became abundantly clear. The notion that insurance is insurance, and if we have insurance, we're covered for pretty much anything, seems to be a not all that uncommon trait these novice insurance buyers share. Stephanie Basuto, co-founder and president of marketing for Cannabis Connect Insurance Services, had to explain to one client what property insurance does and doesn't cover.
I've had a cannabis manufacturer call me. They were a new client. We were doing just fact-finding and getting information about their company and learning about what they do. And we were talking about their storage of inventory, and they were doing white labeling. So what that would entail is they would do manufacturing for other brands, and they would put the labels on it, and then the other brands would essentially have that finished product to distribute. But what they were asking me when we were talking about the inventory, my first question would be, who owns the inventory being stored at your manufacturing facility? And they said, oh, the other party that we're doing the labeling for and the manufacturing for. And I said, oh, okay, so you do not financially own the inventory that you're storing. And they said, no, I thought that was something that would be covered under my property insurance. And so I basically had to explain to them that if it's in your care, custody, and control, there is coverage available for property insurance, but it's not under your standard property insurance policy for inventory you own. And they were surprised. They were basically letting me know, hey, well, you know, at this point, we have about $500,000 in inventory of others that we've been storing on site for quite some time. And, you know, it made him a little nervous. But what we were able to do is put together a policy for property of others that they are responsible for, because what they didn't realize was if there was a claim, and let's say the entire building caught on fire and all the inventory was damaged or completely destroyed, that inventory would not necessarily have been covered if they didn't have a proper policy in place for property of others. So their mind was blown, and we were able to get something put together, and it wasn't very expensive, luckily, but just asking questions like that, asking who owns this inventory? Where did this inventory come from? Did you buy it, or is it technically on some sort of consignment? Like, how is this working out? Because that is a really important question, because sometimes they think they have coverage and they actually don't.
Why do I need it? Remember when you were 16 and first starting to drive, and along with the rules of the road, you were learning a thing or two about financial responsibility? Well, regardless of what you're learning, you're going to end up asking some pretty basic questions that, to some of us, may sound a bit silly. Kirk Miller, with 9-Point Strategies, a Roseville, California-based specialty division of PFC Insurance that provides risk management and insurance services for the cannabis industry, gave an example of one type of question he gets a lot from new clients.
One of the biggest things that I hear a lot from, especially from cultivators, is, you know, I've been doing this for 20 years or 15 years. I've never had a problem with my product, and I don't expect to have one now. Why do I need your insurance? Yeah. Or, you know, we've never had a robbery before. You know, why do we need to cover our product? And regarding auto, a lot of times I'll hear, well, my drivers have insurance on their cars. You know, why do I need to have an NOA policy? I make all my drivers carry insurance.
Not all cannabis businesses fit into the same bucket. Miller broke down the two common types of cannabis business insurance buyers he comes across.
Typically, there's two types of buyers in this space. You have an operator or owner that has been in the cannabis space for quite some time, and they've never purchased commercial insurance before. So it's typically a much longer educational process to bring them on board to really the kind of coverages and exposures, the exposures that are there and the coverages that are available. The other buyer is typically somebody that's been in another industry, the food service, manufacturing, what have you. They typically bring best practices from that industry to the new cannabis business that they are running. That type of buyer, it's usually a less of a process of education. They understand the value that insurance provides.
Product liability. That's a fairly straightforward sounding insurance policy, right? Not everyone gets it. A few of Basuto's newer to the game clients have needed help with that one. Although none of that seems to matter much to her, like Miller, she views it all as just part of an educational process.
I've spoken to new clients on the phone and just getting an understanding about their exposure, understanding what their current policy has, if they actually have one in place, and just asking questions and trying to get facts about their company. And typically there's been scenarios when I've been on the phone with a client and we start talking about their inventory. And I say, okay, how much cannabis do you have in your safe? How much cannabis and inventory do you have out on the shelves during work hours? You know, what are your tenant improvements? And I start asking questions of that sort. And then they go, oh, well, doesn't my product liability cover my inventory? And there's been times when I have to tell them, you know, unfortunately, no, that's not what it's for. Product liability is actually a form of coverage that is for bodily injury and property damage from your product. So, for example, if it was contaminated in some way and it went through the distribution channel and the end consumer was injured because of the product, they would file a claim and that would be product liability. And I had to tell them again, you know, hey, if somebody comes in and they steal your product, I know the word product liability, it would kind of register in your head, product liability, product inventory, but I've had to reestablish that quite a few times when I've had new clients call in. So that's something I really want to emphasize, that no, product liability is not a form of property insurance. It's a form of liability insurance for damage from your product. Inventory coverage is a form of property insurance, and that's basically the difference between the two.
Commercial auto is another line of insurance Bizzuto has had to spend time trying to explain to buyers.
Yeah, I think sometimes people don't realize how many times their employees need to get behind the wheel and maybe drive for a work-related reason, such as maybe running an errand, going to the bank if they have banking, just things of that sort. So sometimes when we ask if they want or need hired and non-owned auto liability insurance, they quickly would say no. And then after I go through a few scenarios about running errands and things of that sort, then I end up getting an answer that, oh, yes, my employees do drive their personal auto just to run a few errands occasionally during business hours. So that's something that I've also noticed, that I usually have to dive a little bit deep into to make sure that they're making a thought-out answer.
Earthquake insurance? Well, with the lack of uptake, even in high-risk states, don't expect people to understand it or to at least believe that it's something that's probably covered in their property policy. Porter explains.
A lot of marijuana clients don't buy earthquake coverage because, again, like we were talking about earlier, the misconception is, well, property's property. Property coverage covers me for all my crop, all my tenant improvements, my building, all of that stuff. Well, you have to really sit down with some of them and walk through your causes of loss, that a property policy is really fire, theft, vandalism, versus if you've been doing this a lot longer and you have a large property portfolio, you understand that it's a totally separate policy. And I mean, it's just kind of looking through the intricacies of when you truly look at a portfolio and sit down with them and say, here's everything that you're at risk for, and you can't really buy one policy that covers all this.
If you're an insurance pro and you're having a chuckle at all this, that's just fine. But as Bizzuto pointed out time and again when she was talking about all of this, we're all new to something at some point.
So they don't necessarily know what questions to ask. So that's why it's really important as a cannabis broker to really open up Pandora's box, per se, and ask questions, even though it leads you down this rabbit hole. It's really important because you could go out to market and receive quotes, and next thing you know, you may not have asked the right question, or the client maybe misunderstood it, and then we're having to go back and have it requoted because it was under it was misinterpreted of some sort. So that's been my experience, and I just think it's getting better and better as people are getting more educated in the space.
Well, there you have it. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Insuring Cannabis Podcast. You can find other episodes from this series by visiting insurancejournal.tv. Until next time, I'm Don Jurgler.